Good morning, small but mighty Wellspring. You guys are mighty. You're some of the most amazing prayer warriors I think I know. So I love you for that. May God bless you for that. Before I start with today's sermon, I just want to point out our Stations of the Cross pictures are up. There will be Bible verses posted next to each one explaining what the station is. It starts with 1 through 8 over here, and then it continues around that way. There is a prayer to go with it. I wanted to read it to you. Actually, here's the stations first. There's 14 stations. The first one is Jesus is condemned to death. The second one, Jesus carries the cross. The third, Jesus falls for the first time. Four is Jesus meets his mother. Five is Simon helps Jesus carry his cross. Six is controversial because it's not in the Bible, but in the Catholic faith and others, they say that Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. That is the woman that was healed from chronic bleeding, and she's honored as a saint in certain Catholic churches, and they name her Saint Veronica. Seven is Jesus falls a second time. Eight is Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. Nine, which is over here, Jesus falls a third time. 10, Jesus is stripped of his garments. 11, Jesus is nailed to the cross. 12, Jesus dies on the cross. 13, Jesus' body is removed from the cross. And the last, at the end there, Jesus is laid in the tomb. We have a special one for Ascension Sunday. We're going to wait on that. And just focus on the sacrifice that Christ made for us in this process. This was moving for me. As I was creating these and typing up the verses, I actually cried a couple times. It was powerful. So if you really take the time to stop at each station and think about it, it's moving. I'll read the prayer and then we'll start today's sermon. If my phone will behave here. And I apologize because I didn't get to type this out. Okay, so the prayer that goes with these stations. This is the dynamic prayer for transformation. Loving Father, I invite you into my life today and make myself available to you. Help me to become the best version of myself by seeking your will and becoming a living example of your life in the world. Open my heart to the areas of my life that need change in order for me to carry out the mission and experience the joy you have imagined for my life. Inspire me to live the Christian faith in ways that are dynamic and engaging. Show me how best to get involved in the life of my church. Make our community hungry for best practices and continuous learning. Give me courage when I am afraid, hope when I am discouraged, and clarity in times of decision. Teach me to enjoy uncertainty and lead your church to become all you imagined it would be for your glory. Amen. So that's the prayer that goes with these. So I asked Linda if she would read the scripture that our sermon is about today. So this is from Luke chapter 14. 14? I think she has the mic.
I do.
Thanks so much.
Again, I thought it said Luke 15. Tell me the verses that you want read.
Luke 14, 15 through 24.
Okay.
Or earlier.
This is the parable of the great banquet. When one of those at the table with him said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.
Thank you. So the title of today's sermon is, We're All Invited to God's Table. In these verses in Luke chapter 14 that Linda just read, the Lord tells a parable about a man, a powerful man of influence and wealth, who organizes a feast for his friends. So he sends off his servants to gather his guests. Three of his friends, we don't know how many he actually invited, make ridiculous excuses about why they can't come. The first one says, well, I bought a plot of ground, and therefore I can't come. Who buys ground without looking at it first? The second guest says, I've made an investment in 5 yokes of oxen. Back then, it was like buying a really expensive tractor or a huge piece of machinery that you'd be planning on using to make a living. But who would buy them first and then go test them? Would you buy a car and then, after you've purchased it, test drive it? No. The third, and this is my favorite, blames his wife. I'm newly married, he said, and therefore I cannot come. So what does the rich host do? He sends his servants out again, but this time he instructs the servants to go out into the town, onto the sidewalks, the back alleys, if you will, of that time. He says, bring in the blind and the lame and the beggars. This would have been most unusual at that time due to the upper class Jewish people looking down on non-Jewish people. In their minds, they were second-class citizens. This was the town's riffraff being brought in, the hoodlums and the delinquents. These were people you wouldn't want eating off your fine china. They were kind of the solo cup and Dixie plate crowd, if you know what I mean. So the servants go out, and they collect these people, and they bring them in. The servants go back to the host of the party and tell him, there's still room for more guests. So the host sends the servants out again, this time to the absolute slum of slums, to the ghettos and the projects, to the homeless shelters and tents. He instructs them to compel these people to come in. What he really means by this is that these poor people would truly be ashamed to come in, so they'd have to strongly encourage them to come in. Then the host finally has a fully packed house packed with guests. He serves a wonderful meal, and Chual says, those people who were invited first, none of them will taste from my banquet. It's a rather frightening parable. Originally, of course, it refers to the people that Jesus would have been speaking to at the time. These are the people that, according to the parable, are the chosen people, the invited people, the guests that God has prepared the banquet in the kingdom of heaven for. And all of them turned it down. They have pathetic excuses for turning it down. Ultimately and truthfully, they don't want it. They're not interested in having it. And so the Lord then sends out his prophets and his servants and his apostles again, and another time, and a third time, this time going to look for those who are not the chosen people, the Gentile people, and everybody else. And those people are encouraged strongly into the kingdom of heaven, whereas the first guests don't get anything at all. So what are we really talking about now? Nowadays, of course, we good Christians think of ourselves as being the proper ones to receive the kingdom of heaven. But what do? We think of all sorts of reasons why it is that we don't participate fully in the life of church. Do we pilgrimage? Not by and large. Do we study the scriptures? Not by and large. Do we spend our time in prayer? Not by and large. Do we turn up to church week after week? Not by and large. Do we engage in services when we are there? Do we work hard at them? Remember, it's called a party. It's a feast in the kingdom of heaven. Instead, we make excuses. Oh, well, I have to attend to work. And, oh, well, I have a family who are coming over. And, oh, there's a game on, you know. And you get the point. There's always some reason why we fail to engage with the gospel. were dismissive. Well, of course, it was fine for those people back then, but what did the Lord really mean by that? We talk to each other and we think of all sorts of excuses about why the purity of the gospel should not affect us, but it does. And the Lord will eventually send out his servants again, and the people who are not of the elect, who are not within the church, who maybe never learned anything about him, he'll find the blind, he'll find the lame, he'll find the beggars, those on the streets and those in the back alleys, those far away from church, and he will strongly encourage them. It says in the gospel, compel them to come in. He won't drag them by their ears unwillingly because he loves us, but he'll show them what it is. And with his compelling message, they will come in, maybe even long before you or I do. So what must we do? While we have the chance, while the Lord is still broadcasting his invitation to you, while he's still writing our names on the letters and saying, come to my banquet, into the kingdom of heaven. You're going to enjoy it. It's fantastic. It's the very presence of God himself. Then we turn to him and say, yes. And we come into his promised kingdom and into his banquet. We engage with it fully. We make every use of it that we can. All the marvelous ways that we can find God within the church. And there are many ways. We pray, we pilgrimage, we fast, we rejoice, we partake in Holy Communion, we help those in need, we give, we comfort, we encourage, we confess, we believe, we strive, and we strive to be more like Christ himself. That's the way to respond to his message. In that way, we also sit at the great banquet in the kingdom of heaven. And we should continue living on this way and encourage those on the streets and in the ghettos, and in the undesirable places, to join us there also, because what a feast it will be. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you have prepared a place for us, and how grateful we are that you encourage us strongly and welcome us to come and join you there. But it wouldn't have been possible if it weren't for your Son's sacrifice, Lord, and through this Lent season, we just remember that, and we give you our lives, and we just bow our heads with gratitude, Lord, for your sacrifice. We praise you and love you for it, and we pray that you help us find ways to encourage others strongly to join us there. In Jesus' name, amen.